This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Conservative.
What I don't like about Washington is they're very nice to your face, and then they take a shiv or a machete and they stab it in your back. I'm a Wall Street guy, and I'm more of a front stabbing person, and I'd rather tell people directly how I feel about them.
Liberal. Nobody talk about politics, like, don't say anything, you know.
A marriage that's been through it all.
She has filed for divorce over his naked political ambition.
These are the views of a couple in love, a couple with children, a couple with differing opinions and perspectives. A couple that survive.
He's kind of like an impetuous guy. In many ways, that's great. In some ways, it's tough when you're married.
What leads them back to each other? Communication, conversation, and a realistic outlook on the world we live in. Your hosts, Anthony and Deirdre Scaramucci. This is Mooch and the Mrs.
This is the Mrs. reporting live from 345 Hudson Street with Anthony. He's here too.
So
I just kicked my
so tell us about
desk
your
and broke my toe.
Radio debut with Joe Piscopo. How did that go?
No, it was so nice. So I realized today that I can do things on my own, and it was like a breakthrough for me.
Okay.
I underestimated myself.
All right, so
when I was sweating this morning, sweating it out in the makeup chair, telling my friend, I'm canceling. I can't do this. What if they ask me something I don't know? I have nobody to say, okay, well, let me ask. Anthony would know the answer.
You haven't learned anything from me? When they ask me things I don't know, I just continue talking.
You make something up. Well,
you haven't learned anything from me?
She goes, well, they ask you something you don't know, just give them your meatball recipe. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's the big deal?
No, that's true. You do.
But Joe's great, though, right?
Distract and things of that nature with silliness.
Detract, distract, use your sense of humor.
He's
can't
great.
Pick your nose on radio though, because like no one notices when you're picking your nose.
No, it's not. That's the thing about radio now. It's not even radio. You're. It was a live streaming thing, so you always have to
look
have
glam,
it together.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, you look good. You got the whole hair and makeup thing going right now.
Mm-hmm.
I like the outfit.
Okay, that's good.
What about the television debut now by
it
yourself?
It was good. It was
fun.
Did
you have like sweat rings? Were you sweating?
To be honest, I wasn't. And so another thing I did, if I want to completely embarrass myself, is I did like all this like positive reinforcement for myself on the way into the city this morning. Like, you know, put your anxiety in a box and like find it later. Breathe. Know that you could do this.
Is that what you do when the plane's landing or no?
No, that's different because I'm not in control of that. But I'm in control of myself going on a TV show and having
yelling
to answer questions. So I was like, F that, I can do this. I'm not different than anybody else.
A couple of bumps on the plane. My wife's in the passenger. She's up in the luggage rack where they...
Well, now I know what I need to do about that. I need to go become a pilot and then I won't be nervous anymore. So
Somebody said that to you, actually. You
right, but so like I feel like if I learn how to do these things myself, I won't be afraid of them anymore.
So speaking about flying, I know we got a lot to talk about. Let's just go to the UFOs for a second, okay? The Navy is reporting.
Right, I totally believe it.
So what do you think?
I don't know who's in there. I don't know if there's green Martians, but
extraterrestrial?
terrestrial.
Neil, raise your hand if you think that those are aliens or you think that that's man-made aircraft.
I'm going to go with man-made aircraft.
Man-made aircraft. Yeah. So no extraterrestrial?
Not a believer in that.
Babe, but who are these men that are making this and not telling anybody? And how is it going like a gazillion miles an hour?
They heard what the Navy guy said, a plane or an aircraft flying in that cross direction with that vertical lift, okay, staying
up in the air
for 12 hours, you could say, okay, maybe it could last an hour. Where's the energy source that's driving that plane?
Well, I mean, on the flip side, could it be like a drone or something?
I don't know. Hypersonic drone? I mean, maybe. I have no idea. Well, all I know...
I'm not really a conspiracy theorist, but I just think it's odd. And most of the time, people in the military don't make up stuff that's not true. They're pretty cut and dry.
Right. Well, I think that's what the pressure is. There's so many sightings now that the pilots say, guys, enough is enough. I mean, you're getting an increase in volume of this sort of unidentified activity. And so,
but don't you think so? Your boy Trump, isn't he like totally, you know...
My boy Trump.
He's known for his
open... My boy Blue.
Spam man. So he's known for being completely open and honest. So if there was stuff flying through the air that he wasn't knowing what it was, wouldn't he say like, hey, there's some shit in the air? Like, wouldn't he say there's... Martians.
Well, I don't know, but maybe
he says everything else.
Maybe he's read the damn thing. Maybe he's pushing it behind the scenes. Maybe he's like,
but why would he do that? He's all about open and.
I see. This is the misnomer about Trump. Okay, in my
he's not open. Okay,
no. In my experience with him, in anything that's like super serious, he's remarkably cautious. Nobody believes me. But I've been in situations with him
where
there's a push comes a shove, it's a serious conversation, and it could be military in orientation or something like that, and he's always like, okay, let's calm ourselves down here. He is the least war-driven of any of the people around him. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion.
No, I believe that. I believe that.
So
you're like, he needs to see a green guy come out of the thing. He needs to see E.T. before he rolls it out.
So Neil says he thinks it's man-made. What do you say?
I'm not sure. Like it's weird. I feel like it could be something from somewhere else. I don't know.
Okay, but again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but this is exactly how the military would do it. Okay, they would make an announcement that they have an unidentified object division. They'd show you some film. Now they're showing you more film. There would be a gradualism to what they're doing if there was something there. So
it's
we'll
so creepy, though. It's like so weird to think somebody's like... And by the way, that means they're smarter than us because they have like better aircraft and better energy. Well, they're not getting their stuff from the Middle East.
Does that surprise you that they're smarter than us, given how fucked up we are as a civilization?
True.
That probably doesn't surprise you. Okay, so we'll have to see what happens, but we don't know the answer, and there's no sense in speculating. But it's just interesting. If you have an interest in this stuff, go to Erin Burnett UFO interview, where she interviews somebody for 7 minutes. Who is a member of this team who is no longer working for the government. And his last sentence of that interview is very telling. And so I won't give it up. Just go check it out if you have an interest in UFOs. Okay, so the president is in Japan. Do you think he's having a good time over there?
Well, I think he's wrapped it up now, but...
Do you think he should have been in the sumo wrestling rink or handing out the sumo trophy?
Sumo, of all.
Or whatever it's called.
Second of all... No.
How do you think Trump looks in a diaper, like in a sumo wrestling diaper?
Sumo, can you say that?
Sumo. Okay. I don't really know how to pronounce things that well. I didn't
grow before up that way. We had a guest and we recorded it for next week, and he was saying marionating instead of marinating. I was like, okay, marionette.
Okay, how does my mother say the word trauma?
Right.
How she say it?
Traumia.
Trauma. We didn't grow up. There were no books in the house.
And
so
you
say
epiphany with a TH. I'm learning, Harvard.
I'm still learning certain.
So.
Okay, Harvard. You just throwing that in there now? Throwing me under the bus?
So I think that it was basically all about pomp and circumstance over there. I think Melania looked appalled at seeing the Japanese butts in the diapers. Yeah,
She looked horrified. I didn't see the pictures, no?
Neil will show you.
But doesn't she see... The Donald and like a little like brief.
It was probably like it was probably very familiar sight to her.
With the roundness and the
similar body shape.
Yeah.
So she was probably like, oh yeah, that's what I'm gonna have to see later on tonight. And then
Oh my God! I
no
gotta
collusion.
Go do, I gotta go.
Definitely
do push-ups.
No
there's
collusion.
No collusion going on there. I'll bet the ranch that there's no collusion and there's lots of obstruction. Okay, so he's gonna get a trade deal.
She's
done
bringing back chastity belts.
Seems like it's an interesting observation. I wonder if you would agree or disagree with this interesting observation. Okay.
What?
Oh, that's disgusting. Neil is showing me a picture of the two. How do you say it?
Sumo.
Sumo guys going at it. And yes, the first lady looks absolutely horrified. The poor woman is like showing her. Trump looks horrified too, though. He looks like there's like a sodomy about to happen or something. Right? He looks totally horrified. But let me ask you this, because politics of personal relationships. It seems like Trump has a pretty good relationship with Prime Minister Abe.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think that's making the whole thing happen, right?
Yeah, I think.
But then
they
he professes
along.
To have a good personal relationship with Chairman Kim from North Korea, but that doesn't seem to be going directionally the way he's saying.
Little Rocket Man.
Right?
I think Abe's less sinister. Like, I feel like he's not as dark as Kim Jong-un.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So there's like a difference in those two men. Trump is basically the same on both, in both relationships.
How do you think the president handles himself overseas?
Well, I personally think that it makes us look really bad and really weak to diss somebody from your own country in front of the world stage.
So you're referring to the Joe Biden remarks?
Yeah.
When he's tweeting about Joe Biden.
I think it makes us look like very fractured and weak. And at the same token, I think it's very appalling for us to be bashing him while he's overseas trying to get something done in Japan. So I think everybody's at fault and we look childish and little.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, because I have always, I do a lot of international traveling. People ask me stuff politically. I never go there with people about President Obama, Vice President Biden. My attitude is we're all Americans, not go there. The fact that he's
have
going
some
there,
sense of solidarity with your nation while you're
all
on
right.
foreign land.
All right, so that's more or less what the Morning Joe people were saying this morning. They don't like the president, obviously, but let me ask you this. Is that tipping us in a direction where we never come back from it? Or is
no.
that a Trump phenomenon?
No, just this is like specific to him, you know? I don't think that sets a precedent. Hopefully, if you're you and I'm me, what I'm doing is not going to make you act differently for the rest of your life, what I did in this 5 minutes. So, no. But
okay.
I just don't think it's a great thing to do.
He opened a Pandora's box?
No, I don't think so. I think people...
Okay, they say, okay, that's specific to him.
Yeah, I think people do their own thing. I don't think they're that much of like the Pavlov's dogs, you know, that they follow in the footsteps of somebody.
So the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg, I find the guy very, very interesting. And I don't even know if I told you this, honey, but I tweeted out about his...
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw the Time mm-hmm. magazine, right? And so then I got a call. I won't name the reporter out of respect for the reporter, but I got a call from a reporter that said that the White House is now concerned that I'm going to endorse a Democrat. So they sent nobody to the SALT conference as a result of that. And they're concerned that I'm going to... But I was like, okay, I'm applauding the guy's bravery. He's a military veteran, and he's also brave enough to be expressing his sexuality freely.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are things I'm applauding. He is a fellow American.
Well, that's the thing.
What is that all about?
People don't like people to just be...
You have to be very binary, right?
You have to be
all Trump,
overly opinionated about anything.
You have to be all Trump all the time. You can't say anything about a potential adversary. He's calling him Alfred E. Newman. Now, that's interesting.
Yeah, we already talked about this.
Yeah, no, I know that. But I'm just saying, this guy was seven. Are you saying I have dementia?
No. No, I was reading that Bill Buckner died of dementia.
Well, my wife's just calling me and said I had dementia. There's people downloading all over the world. She just said that I had dementia.
Go on.
It's fine. But I'm saying that he was in Afghanistan for 7 months. Okay. The guy's a brave, courageous guy. Okay, and to quote him, he's had more military experience than anybody that's come into office since George Herbert Walker Bush.
Yeah.
So you don't think it's okay to like praise the guy? I don't get the whole
thing. Of course I do.
Right.
But that's not how people are. And I was saying it this morning on one of these things that I did this morning. that I said, I hope you'll have me back because I'm probably not as left as you wanted me to be, but I'm not going to be like that just so I can be like that and make it more interesting to people. I don't, they asked me specifically, this was about abortion, you know? And so I'm very middle of the road on it. And maybe that's not interesting to people, but that's my opinion.
Okay, well, how are you middle of the road on abortion? Describe what that is.
Because I am not Alabama, but I'm not New York. I'm somewhere in between. I don't know exactly when or where that is going to come up and be like how it is across the board, which would make the most sense. But I'm saying I'm not like, oh, totally against abortion, and I'm not totally for it.
Women should have a right for an abortion, but the day before the delivery, they probably shouldn't have that right.
Absolutely not. It's a specific case-by-case basis that is based on health problems and health issues, life or death for the mother or child, not just because you made a bad decision and you're using it as birth control, or you don't feel like you're equipped to carry or raise the child, so at 9 months you're going to do something about it. Absolutely not. So there's a middle of the road, but like I said, I don't know if there... I'm not trying to bring up abortion. I'm just saying, as an example, people either want you to be like way pro-choice or way pro-life, and you can't have any common sense in the middle. It has to be one or the other.
Right.
It's the same with Republican, Democrat.
That's why we're
Trump or Biden.
I totally agree with that, and I've said
there's
that.
There's no time that. To opine. There's
the
no
flip
time.
Side is, if it's my choice, it's my religion, why can anybody be offended by that? I'm not telling other people what to do, but I also think a day before the baby's born, you know, you're probably in a zone. If the baby can live in an incubator, you're probably in a zone where you have to accept that you're now in the crossover spot.
Right.
You know, and I'm sorry if you disagree with me with
okay.
that, but that's my opinion.
I was on the panel with a woman who was very, very pro-life, and she was a conservative Christian, and I totally give that to her. That's her belief, and I would never force my beliefs on her. But I think that we do need to have conversations and come to some sort of middle ground somewhere that makes sense for the people that live in this country. So I'm just saying, I know it's not as interesting if you're not on fire on one side or the other, but you have to sometimes just keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe the fever is going to break. Maybe more people are going to be normalizing their conversation and the way they think about it.
But this speaks to the Pete Buttigieg thing. You can say, I'm happy for this person. I'm glad he's living his life the way he wants to live it. And I support some of the stuff he's saying. And that's not a ringing endorsement. That means you're a human to human and you like some of the things he says. So just like, I think Kamala Harris makes sense on some things like gun control and, you know, wages for women being equal to men. Doesn't mean that I'm going to go vote for her. It means that I think she makes sense on some things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're allowed to say that.
I agree. I don't disagree. So.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's switch topics abruptly and talk about Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis, James Mattis. So he's writing a book. Interesting. General Kelly is likely going to also write a book. The general told me at the SALT conference that his book would be about his 40 years as a U.S. Marine. It would not be about his time in the White House. So neither of these guys are, quote-unquote, writing tell-all books.
I can't see either one of those gentlemen writing tell-all books.
Right. Yeah. So... So who would write a tell-all book?
Somebody already did. A lot of people already did.
Who? Any future ones?
Well, I didn't
I just wrote what I saw.
The guy that is so annoying that I told, like, remember you tried to put him on the phone with
Cliff Sims. Yeah.
You
hate Cliff Sims.
Like, the Mooch is on the Loose chapter.
Yeah.
That's a tell-all book.
Yeah, that was unnecessary. A lot of the stuff he wrote was, like, just for grandstanding purposes and to sell books.
And but then you burn bridges and you flame out. You don't sell your book and then you have no friends and you have no business
acquaintances. I heard the book wasn't even that successful, but I just think that was stupid of him. That's very bad judgment. And but I think this is interesting that they're both writing about their military careers.
Mm-hmm.
Will they sell? Jim Mattis is writing a book about his military career and not about his disagreements with the president. Will it sell?
Not sure about that. Could be pretty boring. You know, General Kelly probably has more interesting of a story because he, I don't know, I feel like he's just a little bit more out there, a little bit more relevant, kind of. And unfortunately, he's a Gold Star family member, so I don't know if that's incorporated in his book. But
I don't know. I don't know if it will be, but he did tell me that story. So,
yeah.
So do we talk about this? Because I have dementia, according to my wife. So do we talk about your opinion?
No, yours is just sleep deprivation.
Did we talk about your opinion of General Kelly ever on the podcast?
No. I don't know. But
So what's your opinion of General Kelly?
I think he's a great guy, humble man, military to the T. Like in a book, if you were to look someone up, the definition
of... But you liked him as a person.
Yes, he's a sweetheart. He's a father. He's a grandfather. He made me really laugh when he told me his granddaughter calls him Kells. You know, because like even then, that just goes to show you that this is just a guy with a soft heart. You know, he has a granddaughter who's bossing him around.
Right.
On the weekends. New England.
I genuinely liked him. Unfortunately, we didn't spend that much time together when we were in the White House. It was like 3 minutes and... He did all the talking. I had to do all the packing, honey, when he fired me.
But, a lot of people were giving you the boot back then.
Yeah.
You were packing up office, home.
Yeah.
What else?
All right, look, it was under a bad sun.
So,
it was a bad time in my astrology chart, okay? We're over it now. But General Kelly, my son loved him, My oldest son said, Dad, this guy's a great guy. And so it's just interesting, you know, when you meet people... In different situations, you get caught in the crosshairs of something. But if you meet them in a separate or different situation, you find out a lot more about them. There's more context and texture to the person than you would think,
It's like getting up close to a painting, you know? Mm-hmm. So
okay, so Jim Mattis, you don't think the book will sell?
I don't know. I don't know who the audience
Mattis,
would be.
So I'm going to predict that Jim Mattis is so well-read, and they call him the warrior monk, and he has shelves and shelves and shelves of books.
Shelves.
And he has an unbelievable life experience as a combat veteran.
You have
no
sense of humor. Okay, go on.
I was trying to...
You said shelves and shelves.
I was doing what I try to teach you when you don't know the answer to something. When you're embarrassing yourself, you keep talking.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I mispronounced shelves, and then what else did I do? There's some other...
Marinating.
How do you say it?
Marinating.
Marinate. Okay.
Well, okay, so you're saying that
you want me to start talking about you and you'll go bright red, Uncle Neil. Okay. So you're talk about you and your sexual escapades
because
I know your mother's listening.
Look how
Anthony.
Look how red
he's getting.
Oh God! Don't do that.
Look at
Oh my God! Neil, it's called deny.
Cherry
deny.
Red.
Deny.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You are redder than the red light on my microphone right now. Okay.
Anthony can teach you about denying things. Get with him after this.
Oh, my God.
So, well, see, if I wore makeup like Anthony, I wouldn't turn red.
I'm not wearing makeup today.
Mundo.
You're not?
No, I don't have any makeup. I'm a little moisturizer.
Babe,
what is that skin product?
Or no?
No, it's not tinted. What is the skin product that I use? Inquiring minds want to know.
Human cell growth or it's age. What is this stuff?
What is it called? The guy gave it to me.
The guy? You mean your doctor?
The doctor. MD Derma?
No, that's the manufacturer of the thing.
Yeah, so it's MD Derma, and then it says facial moisturizer with human growth factor.
Right.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's white tube with...
Yeah, so that's what it's called.
I don't know. I'll snap a picture later.
I think I look fabulous for 92.
Oh, my God. You know what I'm going to do?
I'm 92 years old, and I have dementia, but my fucking skin looks like a baby's behind,
okay? I'm going to go home tonight and take a picture of your medicine cabinet.
You're going to embarrass me further, but everyone knows. Anyone that has seen the Vice interview knows that I'm addicted to skin products, baby.
Okay so anyway.
So go back to this, okay? I think the book will be more interesting.
Oh, my God. Enough with this
book. Go back to the dementia now. Let's go back to the dementia. Bill Buckner dies of dementia. How do you die from dementia? I don't
know. Okay, so it's a specific kind of dementia.
Okay.
It's not just mind-related. I believe it affects your body as well.
Okay.
There's a specific name to it. I'm blanking on it now. But the problem that I have with this whole Bill Buckner thing is, first of all, I remember the 1986 series like it was yesterday.
Oh, well, obviously me too.
And, you know, he had like a 30-year career in MLB. Mm-hmm. And he was on an all-star team. He was like a very good baseball player.
Okay, so
now the one thing that he's being remembered for is the error that he had in one of the games.
Well,
meanwhile,
like
that didn't lose the series. That just lost the game.
Right.
So it's like, everyone focuses on the negative thing. You know, he was like a very, very, very
respected baseball player. Let me be technical. So had they got Mookie out, they probably would have won that game and won the series. But you are correct that there was another game to play.
That doesn't mean he's a terrible baseball player.
No,
that's
he
all
had 2,700 and some odd hits over 22
years. Right, it's not his legacy.
The guy's a phenomenal. And also Bobby V, who's been on our podcast. I don't know Bill. I didn't know Bill personally. My heart goes out to his family. But Bobby V said he was one of the great, great guys. Mookie Wilson, who I do know personally, loved him. Obviously, Milky put the ball through his legs. But this is the media and this is the culture, okay? I'm not saying there will be an obituary written about me, but there might be. And the only thing they'll focus on is I got my ass blasted out of the White House after 11 days. They won't talk about
it. I'll write an op-ed on you.
You'll write an op-ed and say that it was a little more than that? But it doesn't matter. The point is that he lived an amazing life. And I think people should take away that all of that stuff doesn't matter. Just go live your life.
By the way, 69 is way too young to die.
69 is way too young to die. I agree with that. We lost Deirdre's dad at 71, also way too young.
Yeah.
How about Bart Starr? Are you old enough to remember him?
No.
Okay.
I know
I'm probably the only person in this room old enough to remember him. Legend. Legend, gentleman, old school football player. What's interesting about him is he wasn't drafted high in the NFL draft back then, but he went on to win two Super Bowls, and he played for the legendary Vince Lombardi, which obviously the Super Bowl trophy is named after Coach Lombardi.
By the way, that's the phenomenon in life. There are so many, and it's just like an analogy for life. You know how many people were like the last round pick in a draft, and then they became the superstar?
Tom Brady. Everyone says, well, was Tom Brady passed over by the Jets? Yeah, only six times.
Yeah, right.
Only six times.
They're as swift as the Mets.
Okay.
So can you imagine, like, that's one change of fate.
That's a Yankee Giant fan taking shots at us Met Jet fans out there. I don't know if you heard
that. You're self-admitting, though, that you make bad decisions.
No, I mean, but here's the thing, is that, like, you know, you also mature at different ages. Like, I expect to be fully mature at the age of 91. and I will come into my own sometime between 92 and 95. I'm going through my adolescent period right now. And some people just mature differently. Or they,
maybe the creams are seeping into your brain.
I'm an extremely stable genius.
Oh my God.
Did he really say that for real?
But he says that all the time now. But I mean, that's him in New York riffing. You know what I mean? Like he would have been like Eminem, like a great rapper. You know what I mean? Because he's like, he knows when he's calling himself an extremely stable genius, they have to play it on the air. And, you know, even he knows he's not an extremely stable genius. Okay. I think he thinks he is.
So he
definitely thinks he's a genius, but I don't think he thinks he's that stable.
Okay. Well, there's two things that I think are important. First of all, we should have started off this way because I think we'd be remiss not to mention Memorial Day yesterday. And I really think it's a privilege and honor to live in this country. I feel like so many people have made a humongous sacrifice, families have sacrificed. And we would be remiss not to say thank you to all those people and let them know that we were not just barbecuing and swimming, but really thinking about everybody and what we've lost and who we've lost. So that's my personal feeling.
But I mean, that's something that even before the White House, as you know, I've done a tremendous amount of troop support work. And so I'm looking forward to doing more of that stuff.
It's important.
It's totally important.
And the other thing I wanted to say, not on a little bit of a lighter note, everyone's saying you're unfollowing them on Twitter. Like, you unfollowed me on Twitter.
Yeah.
You unfollowed a bunch of people. So just for everybody to know, he's not out of love with you.
No. I have an unfollow program going on right now because, unfortunately, what happened was, somebody giving us media tips about Twitter following, had a follow back program going on. And so after talking to Twitter, they told me if I wanted to improve my algorithm and I wanted to, you know, move up in my standing, that I'm not necessarily being shadow banned, but the algorithmic score because of the number of people I'm following that I don't personally know or have a personal affiliation with is affecting my score. And so we're in the process right now of unfollowing people. And then at the end of that, we'll end up following the people that we know. So I apologize for that.
My following's up, so whatever.
Yeah, your following's up, and so is your reach. You have more reach, and you have a better...
The reach around?
You have a better...
What?
You just mentioned the word reach around on the.
I don't think people know what that
what
is.
What happens when little Nikki Scaramucci like listens to this podcast in like 2000?
I'll tell him it's a basketball move. That's how you go
in.
You're going
to tell him
ball.
That the reach around is a basketball move? He's going to know what a reach around is. He's going to say, "Mommy, why were you mentioning reach around in 2019?
I'll say that's how you got here, bud.
You got here from the reach around?
I don't
that's
know.
That's not how you get here from the. The reach around is not like even a move that. Okay, I just have to...
No collusion.
I mean, who's doing the reach around? I don't know. I mean, you've never...
It could get things started.
The reach around? No, the reach around isn't that like a... Never mind. It's probably
okay,
not
Google
a
Google the reach around. You don't know.
Okay, I don't even know, but it's probably not a heterosexual act of reach around, is it?
Oh.
I don't think it is.
Either way.
I mean, I could be wrong about this. I've got a Google reach around, but I don't think you make babies from a reach around. But I'm just going to bring it up. When Nikki,
he is a sick puppy.
When Nikki's listening to this shit and like even
he's never
going
to listen to this.
And he says, Dad, why was mommy talking about a reach around when I was like a little kid? I'm going to be like, I don't know, honey.
She's a sick puppy.
Sometimes she says shit like that. It's like crazy.
Okay.
All right. So
anyway.
There's no reach around, but hopefully there'll be collusion later. Just say this. I'm not unfollowing you for any reason other than the fact that Twitter told me to do that.
Okay. Sounds good.
Last thing I want to say.
Okay, so the reach around is the process of, oh God, I can't even say this.
Don't say it.
Yeah, no, it's
don't
no good.
Say it.
No collusion.
Don't say it. You can look it up yourself, but trust me, it has nothing to do with making babies, okay?
No, it does.
It does?
It does.
Get the hell out of
Contrary
here.
Contrary to popular belief, not only a homosexual act.
Contrary to popular belief,
just
no
look
one
it
has
up.
Made a baby from a reach around. Okay, unless maybe
here.
They're in
here
like an
go.
Artificially inseminating fertility center or something
here.
Like that. Okay, I don't need to see it. I don't need to see it. I've had enough conversation about the reach.
I can't believe I've revolted the mooch.
No,
that's impossible.
It's just impossible it's impossible to revolt me. I just think that, you know, I'm thinking about your young kids and posterity, honey.
Okay.
By the way, you agree with me, before we end this podcast, do you agree with me that there's only one person that's going to be remembered from this 500-year time frame?
Oh, well, you keep saying that. I mean, I think Jesus will be... From
1650 to 2150, one person's going to be remembered, nobody else. Who was
Well, that's your theory. It totally makes sense, but I think there probably will be a few other people that will be remembered.
Okay. Okay. Do you know any of the Egyptian pharaohs from 10,000 years ago?
No.
I mean, King Tut, they opened his grave in 1922. Do you know anything about the guy? All you know is that there's like a curse on his tomb. No one's going to remember anybody. Okay. Donald Trump is going to be like a, you know, opening a can of like spam. Mm-hmm. No one's going to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm just telling you, no one's going to remember Barack Obama. One person, Neil Armstrong. That's it. No one else is going to be remembered. So everybody take a chill. Go live your life. Who cares what happens? Just be a good person.
Okay.
With that, this is the Mooch signing off. I'm doing a mic drop right now, but the mic's not dropping.
No, it's on a crane, so it's hard to drop. Okay, thanks for being with us, guys. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And even if Anthony unfollows you, just stay strong. He'll follow you again later.
Stay strong. Stay strong
stay
out
strong.
There. Strong. No reach around for tonight, please.
Oh, my God. See you next Tuesday.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.